Epistle of 2 John. Seems like it's been a while since we've met. Am I the only one that feels that way? It seems that way, doesn't it? Even though it's actually been a week, it just seems like it's been a while. All right, 2 John. I'm going to ask you if you would to stand, and I want to read verses 1 through 8. We'll review 1 through 4, and then I want to try to unpack some things I think will be a help to you in verses 5 through 8. But we will read 2 John, verses 1 through 8 together. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. And God, I pray that you would help us to gather truth from your word. I pray you would bring to my remembrance things that I've studied, open the hearts, minds of your people. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would give us insight and the anointing into your word. God, help us to receive your word, not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Help us not only to receive it, help us to respond to it by obeying your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Well, 2 and 3 John are little short epistles that we really don't hear a lot of preaching from. I hope that as we have began to look into the second epistle of John, that it's kind of whet your appetite a little bit. You've looked into 2nd, 3rd John. It's obvious that as we look back, we talked about the elder, John, and all that that means. You know, John being the elder, he was the only original apostle alive at the writing of this letter. All the others had been martyred. And so I think that it means something when he uses that title. Now, the title, of course, was a title that became familiar in the early church, the elder, the elders, the bishops, the overseers, the pastors. It's a title that was well known, but when John used this title, he was using it in a way that automatically grabbed the attention of the lady, of her household, but no doubt all those that read the letter. And so this was not just a casual letter from a casual somebody. This was an elite letter. And it was written from an elite person. And, of course, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's packed with spiritual truth. Though there's only 13 verses, and most of the verses are very short, there's a lot of truth, and there's a lot of things that we need to grab hold on that will help us in our Christian life. Now, what John is writing about is truth. He's writing about truth. Now, you know, we're living in a day where truth means what it means to each person that they want it to mean. It's relevant. In other words, truth is what I want to make it. But that's not truth at all. Truth is what God says. God is the source of truth. That's Deuteronomy 32:5. I want you to look back there, if you would, just for a moment in Deuteronomy. I want you to look back. It's obvious, as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter number 32, it is obvious that John is writing about the truth. In the first four verses, he uses the word truth five times. And brethren, truth is very, very important. I have been hammering that because we live in a day where truth doesn't really matter to even people who profess to be Christians. We have people sitting in our churches, that say they're Bible-believing, and they could give one moment for the truth. They don't care. You know, you go to talk to people and say, well, you know, the Bible says, well, you know what, I just know what I believe. Well, if you don't believe the truth, then what you believe is wrong, right? It's the truth. And so we need to get really interested. We need a revival of a desire to know the truth. The truth is what will set you free. The truth is what set me free. Amen. We are saved. James said in James 1, we are begotten by the word of truth. We are sanctified. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, John 14, 17. Amen. We serve God, Joshua 24, 14, in sincerity and in truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4, 24. Truth matters. It matters. And we're living in a day where emotions matter more than truth. Now listen, I'm not anti-emotional. We are all emotional beings. God made us emotional. And there's nothing wrong with emotion in its place. But emotion doesn't trump doctrine. Truth. They can coexist. Amen. Truth and emotion can coexist. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you'll notice in verse number 5, Deuteronomy 32, verse number 5, and I gave you the wrong verse of scripture. 4, thank you. He is the rock, Deuteronomy 32, verse number 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, which means he's the source of it. God is the source of truth. So that's God the Father. We know Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John said in John 1, he's full of grace and truth. John 14, 17, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, brethren. As Christians, we don't rejoice in iniquity. 1 Corinthians 13, 6. We rejoice in truth. Or do we? Some folks don't want to know the truth, and yet they say they're Christians. I'm not fussing. I'm not arguing. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that among Bible believers in a day, the world is groping in darkness and deceit, in lies, lying in the lap of the evil one, in wickedness. We have the truth. As a matter of fact, if you'll go back to 2 John, the Bible says not only that, I want to show you some things and then we'll get into verses 5 through 8 because I want to show you a good balance that I struggle with, but I know it's right. I know it's what God wants me to do. Perhaps you struggle with it. If so, I believe you'll get some help tonight. If not, well, just store it away for when you do struggle with it and you'll get some help then. File it away because you're going to need what I'm going to tell you tonight about the balance between living the truth and loving in truth. You can't just love any way you want to love. There is a biblical diagram for how to love, and God gives it to us. And so we'll see that tonight. But I want you to look, if you would, in 2 John. Are you there? The Bible says this. Notice what John said here in verse number 1. He said to this elect lady, he said, I love you, now watch this, in the truth. I'm not just talking about some warm and fuzzy here, some feeling. It's the truth that causes me to love you. Because truth is pure, and pure truth helps me to give true love. You understand that? This is God's way. I'm not talking about the world's way. This is God's word, brethren. And truth is, it should be the foundation of everything we do. He said again in verse number 1, he said, not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. Thank God. We're in the know. We know the truth. We have the truth, brethren. Amen. The spirit of truth dwells in me. That's why the scripture can say in verse number 1, or verse number 2, I'm sorry, for the truth's sake, which what? Look at it. Dwelleth in us. The truth dwells in you. If you're saved, the truth dwells in you. The truth dwells in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. We've known the truth because the truth has been given to us in the canon of Scripture. The Word of God is truth. That's John 17, 17. Truth. How concerned are we as Bible believers about truth? We get real concerned about politics. And I listen, I'm not opposed to politics. I vote. I believe we have a civic duty. I believe that we ought to do our part. I believe we ought to love our country. Amen. But let me tell you something. I serve God. I serve God. I'm a Christian. I thank God I'm an American. Don't misunderstand me, but you can be an American and go straight to hell. I'm a Christian, first and foremost. I serve God first and foremost. I'm not opposed to, I thank God for men and women who serve our country in a way of protection and the way of service to our country. So don't misunderstand the message now. But I'm just saying, it seems like that we have put truth on the back burner. We put truth as a secondary matter. And it's not secondary at all, brethren. We need to be shaken. We need to be awakened. We need to realize it's high time. Amen. And we wake up and realize that there's not a whole lot of truth going forward today. As a matter of fact, verse number 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world. This was back in John's day. This is back when John was writing. It's in the first century. And so here we are, far removed from John saying this. And we're living in a day of deception and lies and smoke screens. And you read something, you hear something, and you just wonder, is that the truth? Isn't it sad to live that way? Somebody tells you something, and you're just wondering, is that the truth? I pray to God that there'd be no one under the sound of my voice that is how you would be known. If you profess Christ, you ought to be able to speak with authority and assurance and certainty, knowing I speak the truth. Now, we're going to say a word about that in just a moment. And so, here it is. He said, number one, you've known the truth. In other words, it's truth that unites us. Remember that? Look at verse 1. He said, I love you in the truth. He said, but not only I, all they that have known the truth. The truth is what brings us together. You know why you're here tonight? The truth. The truth. It's the truth that we're after. A real Christian's after the truth. Amen, church? Yes. I want the pure, unadulterated truth of God. I do. Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to say more about it. Truth can be divisive. Truth can be confrontational. Truth can be brutal. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, you ought to be speaking the truth in love. It's got to be balanced out a little bit. That's right. Truth will pierce you. Truth will wound you. But I thank God it'll also heal you. And sometimes God has to wound us with truth before he can heal us with the truth. Because we're broken. And we're steeped in sin and lies and deception. And we have our way. But God said, it's not going to work your way. You've got to do it my way. Don't you trust in your way. Don't you trust in your way. You trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't you lean on your own understanding. That's deceptive. That's deceptive. It's dark. It's wrong. And we have to come to a place where we say, you know, I'm wrong. My flesh is weak. I don't know, but God does know. And I'm seeking the truth The truth is what's best for me. God knows what's best for me. God knows what's best for you. And it's the truth. We need some truth. Truth can be uncomfortable. Have you ever been in a room and somebody just speak up and speak the truth? Use this little child. Little children just tell the, I mean, they'll just tell you the truth. Your breath stinks. Wow. What's wrong with your face? You know, kids just say some stuff. I mean, they will. They just put it out there. How many parents know what I'm talking about? And I mean, it's at the most inopportune time. I mean, it's like, wow, now, here? Yeah. Truth can be uncomfortable. It really can. But you know, we need the truth. See, truth is what stirs the nest a little bit. Isn't that right? You see, we get comfortable, brethren, we get lazy. We get lazy, we're not much used to God's kingdom. And so God uses truth to stir us up. God uses truth to kind of bring conviction and to get us to see the error of our way. And I'm glad for truth. How about you? What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word, right? Preach the word, Timothy. Why? Because it's the word of truth. He said, you give them the truth. Now, John said this. He said, first of all, and I must move on. He said, first of all, he said, we are united by the truth. And then notice in verse number 2, he said, truth indwells us. You see that? These are some good benefits of what truth means to we as Christians. And so I hope you'll capitalize on this now. Verse number 3, and this is just recapping. Verse number 3, notice what he said. He said, truth not only in verse 1 unites us, in verse 2 it indwells us, but truth blesses us. Look at what it says in verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. In what? In truth. In truth. I think of Jude. Jude said, you know, that grace and mercy and peace be multiplied to you. And I just believe that the deeper we get into truth, the more grace we'll understand that we're in. Brethren, I'm glad I'm just basking in God's grace. How about you? I mean, we ought to just bask in it. The grace of God. Look at it. The mercy of God. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? Where would we be if God gave us what we deserved? The mercy of God says, don't give Dale Freeman what he deserves. And we've got a group of people running around in lies and deception saying, I deserve better. Well, wait a minute now. Now, you don't know what you deserve if you think that. It's only by the mercy of Almighty God that any of us are in the place and position we are here tonight. And then he said, not only grace and mercy, but he said in verse number 3, he said, peace. So many things in this world to rob us and steal our peace. And so he said, now think about the blessings of love. And then finally in verse number 4, he said, truth not only, it not only unites us, it not only indwells us, it blesses us, but he said it controls us. He said, I'm rejoicing. I found your children walking in the truth. Isn't that something? You see, walking in the truth. Truth is the navigator. Not walking in your own way. Not walking in the world's way, but walking in God's way. And God's way is walking in truth. You seek the truth, not just so you can know it. He said in verse number 1, you've known the truth. You've known the truth. But he said, knowing it's just part of it. Now you walk in it, which means you obey the truth, right? Right? You don't know the truth just so you can store it away and say, well, now I know that. No, you know the truth so you can do the truth. Isn't that why we know the truth? That ought to be our goal. That ought to be our desire. And now, I like what John does here. This is really interesting to me, and it helps me. It's helping me, okay? I've still got a little ways to go, but it's helping me. You know, as a pastor, you can be very skeptical. I can't even say it, let alone perform it. You get kind of skeptical. You get kind of cynical, and you have to be really careful. And perhaps you can be that way, too. Well, let me just go ahead and lay it down. You can be. some of you look like, well, maybe someday. No, no. We can all get kind of skeptical. We can all get kind of, you know, we can get kind of cynical. as a Christian and you hear somebody getting saved or somebody getting right with God or somebody saying they're going to come to church or somebody, whatever, and you'll begin in the back of your mind and say, well, I wonder if that's really what they're going to do or this or that. And that's the devil. That's the enemy. Let me tell you what John said here. He said, what you need to do is you need to learn that you can be just as straight as an arrow, but you don't have to be rude. Now, please listen to me. And you don't have to be mean. As a matter of fact, truth is straight as an arrow. Truth doesn't bend. Are you listening? As I said, truth, and I wrote some things down here, and I hope you'll just give me your ear just, well, for the rest of the night that I'm preaching, but especially right here, truth can be brutal. It can be uncomfortable. As I said, it can be confrontational, it can be divisive. We can either speak the truth in love or we can weld it in pride. But the truth must be spoken. And just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I need to skip around the truth when I'm dealing with matters. Notice what John said here in verse number 7. He said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He called him out. Paul called him by name. He did. You know why? The same man in Ephesians that says, speaking the truth in love, he had to call some people out. There was an occasion where he had to call Peter out. He had to withstand him to the face. He said, that wasn't very nice. Paul was a man of truth. Now, see, the same truth that confronts will not compromise. But you can speak the truth in love. See, when you really love somebody and you see them going the wrong way, you can't compromise with them. You have to speak the truth to them. When you see someone going in the wrong direction, you have to go to them in truth. But you have to mix it with love. And I'm getting there. Where the love comes in. See, sometimes people have a hard time with this, and they're either, listen, they're just straight arrow with truth, and they're mean-spirited, and they're brash, and they have no ethics about them, and they just blow things up, and they go in and say, well, oh, bless God, I believe the truth, and I'm going to hammer you down with it. Well, you know what? You can speak the truth in love. You can love people and still speak the truth. Amen. You do not have to be rude. You do not have to be crude. And as a Christian, I'm not talking about just a pastor, as a Christian. And so we need that balance. And sometimes I struggle with it. How about you? Two people. You do, and I know you do, and you know you do, but more importantly, God knows we do. So what are we going to do? Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to identify it, and we're going to realize, listen, I have this problem. I want the truth. Now, if you do not want the truth, I want to encourage you right now, and I don't think I'm speaking to anyone in particular. I don't know. There may be somebody here who really is not that concerned about the truth. I don't know what's in your heart. You say, I want truth as long as it's convenient, as long as it doesn't mean I have to change some things. Maybe some places I go or some things I wear or some things I listen to or some things I watch. And then I don't want the truth. I don't want the truth then. I want to believe what I want to believe. But now, when it comes to, well, other things, I want the truth. No, truth is a body, and we must take the body together, all the truth. Amen. That's right. That's right. And I listen, there's things we could split hairs over, and I mentioned these before. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. You may believe this, but let's take music. Music's just one example of many. One example of many. And there are many. And people say, well, you know what? I think this is the music that is right and it's God-honoring, and that's the only kind of music there is. I've actually had people come to Fellowship Baptist Church to preach or to play music, and they thought, well, our music is the only music. And I had to kindly remind them, and this is where I had a little trouble balancing what I'm getting ready to tell you, had to kindly remind them, I'm the pastor here, and this is what we're going to do. Now, if you want to be a part of that, that's okay. If you don't, that's okay. I'd like for you to stay and be a part of it. But you don't get to decide what your preference is for what's going to happen at Fellowship Baptist Church. Everybody understand what the preacher's saying tonight? I hope that you do. See, some people, let me give you just some, these are kind of broad examples. Some people think, well, you know what? I don't like bluegrass gospel because I think it's just worldly. You know, I've made this very clear. Bluegrass gospel is not my favorite, but I like bluegrass gospel. And if people want to play bluegrass gospel here, they can play bluegrass gospel here. Just stay in the lane. Honor God with it. I like a lot of different forms of Christian music. I do. And so I think that if we're not careful, what we will do is we will back ourselves in a corner, we'll paint ourselves in a corner to where we are trying to make what our preferences are convictions on other people. So be careful. Be careful. If you've got some clear Bible teaching, well, see, now we can have a conversation. Is that right? Some clear Bible teaching on your position. But if it's just what you prefer, then keep it that way. If you want to make that known, we can have that discussion. I've had it many times, many times. Now, there's some things that are non-negotiable. There's some things that are, well, it's just very clear. Just very clear. So truth. Truth. What are we going to do? Truth is brutal. Truth is just, I mean, it shoots. Truth don't go around problems. It goes right through it. Are you listening? I hope that you are. We want to be a people of truth. Now, what's that going to look like? What's that going to look like, though? When we know that we're ministering to people that are coming out of a world of lies, when they get saved and they come into the light out of darkness, they come into the truth from deception, what's that going to look like? Well, notice what John does. He said in verse number 5, and now. Now that I look at it, I love the way John does this. He said, look, I'm an elder. And I believe what John is saying is I've learned some things. I walk with Jesus, okay? I've seen his ministry. I watched the way he loved people in truth. Yes, he was the embodiment of truth, but he was also the embodiment of love. The same God that is the God of truth, Deuteronomy verse 4, is the God of love, 1 John 4:8. And they go together. And so he said, and now that you realize all that you have in the truth, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. You see that? How truth unites us. How truth indwells us. How truth blesses us. How truth controls, it navigates us. We walk in the truth. He said, and now, once you realize how important truth is, now you're ready for this. Look what he said in verse number 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. And here it is, that we love one another. Don't get so one-sided now on the truth that you think, well, you know, it's truth. Now, truth is unbending. But you have to exercise the truth in love. And this is what he's saying. You can have both, right? You can live in the truth, and you can love in the truth. We can. But now you can't do it in your own. I can't do it in my own. I'm going to need some help with this. I am. I'm glad God gives me help. Romans 5:5 says that the Spirit of God, the love of God, is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of truth, is also the Spirit of love because he produces that fruit. Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Right? Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, just for a moment, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians just for a moment. Ephesians. And I'm not going to we'll come back to this another time. I'm not going to finish this. This, I cannot tell you how important this is. Some people get so unbalanced with truth, and that sounds kind of odd. How can you get unbalanced with truth? Because you don't mix it with love. God is a God of holiness. God is a God of truth. But God is also a God of love and a God of grace. And God wants us to represent him that way. And so if we're not careful, we'll get one-sided and we'll say, well, it's all, you know, it's truth. And so I'm just going to plow through, and I don't care. You know, it's truth. They can either accept it or reject it. They can either like it or lump it. Well, that's no way to present God's truth. Amen? That's no way to present God's truth. Aren't you glad God doesn't present his truth to us that way? What if he did? But I'm glad he doesn't. Are you in Ephesians chapter 3? The scripture says in verse number 16, Paul said, I'm praying for you that you would be, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, now here it is, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Did you get that? God said, I want you to understand truth, but I also want you to comprehend with all the saints. All the saints are in truth. That's what John in 2 John 1 said. But all the saints also have access to love. And so we need to use them both. And we need to love one another. Need to love one another. Now the same love that'll reach out a helping hand to a brother who has stumbled and failed should be the same love that'll go to a brother that is living in open sin and say, brother, you're messing up. And I'm here in love to tell you that I want to help you. Right? Is that right, brethren? The same love that comforts ought to confront. Love is balanced. And love just doesn't coddle. Listen, that's the world's way of love. That's that touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. That's not the love that God's speaking of. Love will reach out a hand to someone. And I'm all for that. I've tried to build a ministry on that. Let's help the fallen. Let's help those that are struggling. Let's help those that have lost their way. Let's help those that have been overtaken in a fault. Let's extend a hand to them, right? This is the Bible way, Galatians 6. However, there's also a love that not only reaches out a hand to comfort and to bring back, but there's a confrontation. There's a love that says, now, brother, you're messing up. You're messing up. Going in a different direction, listening to things that are not so, having seeds of error sown in your heart, you're messing up. And so you have to, love confronts too. You with me? Love does that. But no, you've got to have that in you, and I'm glad that the Spirit of God is in us, and he's the one who reveals these things unto us. Now, as we go back to 2 John, this will be the last time and I'll wrap it up for tonight. Now, what is John saying here? He's saying this. He's saying, listen, here's the commandment. It's not a new commandment. It's the commandment from the beginning. God's been telling you this ever since you got saved. You have been brought into a fellowship of love. You've been brought into a body of love. You are to love one another. But it's not outside of the truth. Your love for someone cannot go around truth. You can't just love what you like of it and turn a deaf ear and a blind eye to what you don't like, because it's truth. And you have to deal honestly and thoroughly with people in the truth, but do it in love. You see what John's saying here? He said in verse number 5, he said, I beseech thee. He said, I write, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which you've had from the beginning, that we love one another. Do you love the brethren? That's one test to know if you pass from death into life. Do you love people? This same author in chapter 3 of 1 John said, we don't love in word and tongue, but in deed. And what? Truth. Turn there, 1 John 3. I said we weren't going to do it, but you've got to see this. It's truth, brethren. Truth helps me to love the Bible way. Can I tell you this? I can't tell you how many people, you find 1 John 3. I want to share something with you that it really just shows a lack of discernment and understanding by so many today. And I'm not saying that I'm it, you're it, we're it. It just, some people say, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament is justice, and the God of the New Testament is love. That's ridiculous. They're the same God. The law of God in the Old Testament reveals the love of God. I'm glad God told me, hey, don't do that. It'll get you in trouble. Amen. The law of God is like guardrails. Yeah. And so because God loves us, he gave us the law. Because Paul said, had God not given me the law, I wouldn't know that committing adultery was wrong. He said, it's the law that awakened up sin in me. It was the law in Romans 7 that let me know that I was a sinner. It's a schoolmaster. Amen. And so please don't think that the Old Testament is just this big bully God in heaven, you know, just ready to pounce down on people and say, thou shalt, thundering out from heaven and this and that. Listen, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Same God. Same God. It's just in the Old Testament, God is saying, listen, here it is. I love you, and so I'm going to give you these commandments. Stay out of trouble. Don't be committing adultery. Don't be stealing. Right? Don't be coveted. Don't be lying. Don't be bearing false witness. That's no way to live. This stuff gets you in trouble. Is that right, brethren? Don't be messing with other gods. Don't be building any graven images. Don't you take the name of the Lord thy God name in vain. God said, don't do that. Now, why did God tell us that? Why did God tell the children of Israel that? Why did God give the law? Because he loves us. Yes. Now, how do we show God we love him? If you love me, you'll keep those commandments I gave you because I loved you. It's not hard. And all the commandments, listen, hang on these two. All the law and the commandments. That you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Is that right? That's what the word says, brethren. That's the truth. Do you love God? Because if you don't, you're going to have a hard time with 2 John verse number 5. Look at it one more time. He said, I'm telling you this old commandment. He said, you're not going to be able to get away from it. You're just not. Well, I said 1 John 3. I'm sorry. I do want you to see 1 John 3. So if you'll turn to 1 John 3. He said this. He's talking about love. This whole thing in 1 John 2, 3, he's talking about love. And he said in verse number, let me find it here. Verse 18, my little children, 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You love people in truth. When you love people, you don't lie to them. You tell them the truth in love. Is that right? Yeah. We need to get interested in the truth. Truth hurts. It wounds. But oh, thank God it heals. It sets free, brethren. It paves the way to where we need to be with God. I can't get where I need to be with God if I'm not willing to accept and obey the truth. I can't live a lie and be free from the bondage of the flesh and sin. I've got to live in the truth. And it's not always that easy. So, we'll go back one last time in the latter part of verse number 5 of 2 John, that we love one another. You love the brethren? It's easy to say you love people. We could all say that. But remember what John said. It's not in word and tongue. You can't just be telling people you love them. You have to show them. See, that's the way we love the way he loves. And the Bible does say that we need to walk even also. That's in 1 John 2, 1 John 2, 6. We need to walk even also as he walked. And so, are you driven to know truth? And are you driven to express love in the truth. Not just, I think I'm going to tell old brother so-and-so what he wants to hear. It'll make him feel better. Well, sometimes folks don't need to feel better. Yeah. Sometimes folks need to understand the weight of their wrong. And they need to be confronted with the consequences of their actions. I tell parents this all the time, and this is difficult. When my children were growing up, I wasn't interested, not even that much, in being their friend. Not even that much. They got one father. They had the opportunity to have many friends, but just one father. And I wanted to make sure that they understood that before I was anything else, I was their father. And I wanted to exercise my God-given place in their life as their father and not their friend. Now, don't mistake that and say, well, you must have been a real tyrant. That's possible. But I tried to exercise the love for my children in truth. How about you? Are you interested in truth? Are we? We're a Bible-believing church. We believe the Word of God. Is truth important to you? I hope that it is. I really do. I believe that it is. I see it. I don't think you'd be here tonight. I mean, what, 6 inches of snow and 15 inches of ice? It seemed like it when you were shoveling, didn't it? You shoveled your way out. You battled the elements and you came to church tonight. Why? I think you're interested in the truth. And I'm not saying this to butter up anyone. I want you to look right this way. I'm very, very thankful to be the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. I think our people are a people of truth. But if we're not careful now, there is an enemy. And he's coming after me. He's coming after you. He wants us to let up. He wants us to back off the truth. He wants us to mix the truth. I don't want to mix the truth. I want to proclaim it. I want to live it. I want to be an example of it. That's what truth does to a person right there. Truth changes people. Sometimes it has to wound us before it heals us, and sometimes it has to conflict us before it comforts us, but I'm glad that it makes a change in people's lives, aren't you? The truth. The truth. I don't want to become selective in what truth I want to accept and what truth I want to reject. Say, well, you know what? I like this truth because it's advantageous for me, but now this truth's going to mean I got to make some changes in my life, so I think I'm going to stay away from that truth. Don't tell me that truth. I want the whole counsel. I want all the counsel of God, and I believe you do too. All right, let's stand to our feet. Truth. Went a little longer than I expected. But I don't know that I could preach on a more important subject. Truth. Because it's the truth, brethren. It's truth. Without it, we're just another social club. We really are. We might as well break out the bingo cards and whatever else these social clubs do. A little two-step, I don't know. But I sure am thankful that I have the truth. Don't you ever accept anything less than this right here, the truth. Don't you ever accept anything less than a man standing up and proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. One day, pastor's moving on. And some of you younger ones, and some of you older ones, you'll move on before I do. Some of you younger ones might. You don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be sick to die. But when the pastor moves on now, God still holds you accountable. When you leave your parents, now young folks, listen to me now. When you leave your parents, God still holds you accountable for the truth. You listening? The truth. The truth. You want your life to go right? Find truth. Follow truth. Walk in the truth. Rejoice in the truth. Hide the truth in your heart. Grab hold of truth. Never let go of truth. Don't let anything else but truth navigate your life. If you do that, I can guarantee you when you stand before God one day, you will hear the words that every Christian longs to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Truth has happy endings. Let's bow our heads together.